This is the sermon podcast of Jim Parsons, the senior pastor at Milford Hills United Methodist Church. For more information about our congregation, visit us at milfordhillsumc.org. Thank you for listening, and peace be with you.
May we continue to stand now for the reading of the Word of God. It comes from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 2 through 10. So hear now the Word of God. The Lord's word came to me. Before I created you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I made you a prophet to the nations. Ah, Lord God, I said, I don't know how to speak because I'm only a child. The Lord responded, don't say I'm only a child. Where I send you, you must go. What I tell you, you must say. Don't be afraid of them, because I am with you to rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand, touched my lips, and said, I'm putting my words in your mouth. This very day I appoint you over the nations and empires to dig up and pull down, to destroy and demolish, to build and plant. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words that I speak be those you want spoken. May the words we hear be those you want heard. May we live to your glory. Amen. For a while, I was the chair of the call and vocation team for the Western North Carolina Conference of the United Methodist Church. The task of this team was to cultivate a culture of call within our conference. We created some materials that would help congregations have conversations about call. We had curriculum for youth and children, and we put together a sermon series, this sermon series, called I Am Called. So for the month of June, we'll be looking at four stories in the Bible where God has called people. The Bible is full of stories of people who told others about how God called them into some sort of ministry or some sort of act. And it's powerful to hear people share these call stories, which is why our team back then also created a set of videos where people shared their call stories and how God was speaking to them. You'll see a couple of these videos during this month, and see if you recognize anybody in this one.
I did lots of internships in undergrad and through divinity school to explore different avenues of worship. I was very nervous about being behind the pulpit. Through the internships, I tried chaplaincy and different avenues, but God kept leading me back to the pulpit. And during my third year of divinity school, I was doing an internship where I was in a three-point charge. And so I distinctly remember walking out of Duke Divinity School into Duke Chapel, sitting down in a pew and bowing my head and saying to God, fine, I'll do it. I'll go into the local church. And that's where God led me to. To me, every Sunday, it's a connection with going, yeah, I'm doing this not because of me, but because God has asked me, because God has called me to this place. So it's funny how God speaks in our weaknesses, just as a reminder of how powerful he is and that he uses the people he calls to do his will and to communicate to his people. Everyone comes from a different place, and we arrive at our calling, but then we also go in different directions. There's not just one standard call. It's ministry, and ministry comes in all forms and all places. You can travel down a road, and even if you go down, say you want to try chaplaincy, you try it for a year and that's still fine-tuning what God is calling you to do, because you're finding an avenue where God is not leading you. And so even when doors close or there's no's, there's still, you're understanding more of who you are and who God has called you to be. Well, I learned in my 13 years of ministry so far that the more I find out who I am, the stronger my calling is. I am Jim Parsons, and I am called.
I don't know who that dashing young man was. He definitely doesn't have as much gray hair as I do now. But life is different in your 30s, I guess. But that's a small part of my call story. And one of the people that I relate to the most when I look at the Bible and the stories that are in there is Jeremiah. Jeremiah is one of the major prophets and is called to preach to Judah and to the destruction of Jerusalem. He had to bring bad news to a place he loved dearly and to the people he cared about. Jeremiah is also referred to as the weeping prophet. He had a ton of difficulties with his prophetic ministry, and you can feel the pain in one of the books that he writes called Lamentations. In this opening chapter of the prophet Jeremiah's book, Jeremiah retells the story of his calling. He says that God came to him and said he was going to be appointed as a prophet to the nations. God's calling for Jeremiah was a huge task for him to agree to. He was going to have to walk in to the holiest of cities and talk to five different kings over his years and tell them that this holy, majestic, and strong city called Jerusalem was going to fall. It would fall because of their lack of faith, trust, and obedience to God. Since Jeremiah was a PK, a priest kid, he was very familiar with the special nature of that city and God's people. He knew how much the city meant to them and how special this temple was within the city. We all hold places of our childhood near and dear to our hearts. I mean, think about your own town that you grew up in, your neighborhood, the storefronts, the faces of your neighbors that you love to visit. Imagine the parks, the swimming pools, the hangout spots, and the places where life happened for you there. As a priest kid, I'm sure he would have traveled to Jerusalem many, many times. And he held the culture of his people and the faces of those fellow Israelites deep in his heart. So imagine how you would feel walking around your hometown or your neighborhood. How would you be received if you were asked by God to tell them that everything they see, everything they hold near and dear, would be destroyed? Would your heart break if you were asked to inform your neighbors that they would have to move to a foreign country, to live in exile, because they as a whole were not obedient to God? It would break my heart, and it broke the heart of Jeremiah. I wonder if that is what was on his mind when he first was told by God that he was called and then listed all his excuses. And the scripture says, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. We all have excuses when God calls us. I did. My excuses were the same as Jeremiah's. God, I hate to speak in front of people. I hate reading in front of people. I have a really hard time doing it, and I get really nervous. And God said, great, I'll make you do it every week. Ruth, when she was called, continued to follow the family she was born into, or was she called to follow the one that she was married into? She had lots of excuses not to do what God called her to. Samuel hears a whisper of his name and doesn't know what to do until Eli gives him a hint. The disciples, they have a big decision whether to drop everything and to follow this person named Jesus who just shows up and calls him. Calls from God are scary. They're scary because they will push us out of our comfort zone. They will lead us to places to meet people where we never thought we would meet. It pushes us further. It tries our patience. It tests our faith. God's call is scary. But because God calls us to do things that we might fight against or hate doing, God often calls people from their weakness or their inabilities. If we could do it on our own, then why in the world would we need a God in the first place? And so God pushes us so that we can deepen our faith and walk with God by relying on God to lead us through instead of relying only on ourselves. God's call is scary, and God calls each and every one of us. We normally think about a person that God calls as one who goes into ministry, that God only calls pastors, or God only calls children ministry workers, or music ministers, or missionaries, or chaplains. However, that's not true at all. God calls all of us, and that is what we find as we explore the different people in this series. As followers of God, we hear God speak to our souls, whisper to our hearts, gently nudge us towards God's desire for our lives. The catch is, do we listen? I love how Harry Potter learns that he is being called to Hogwarts. He gets mail one day, something that absolutely never happens at his house. His mean aunt and uncle, though, they don't let him open it, and then they throw it away. Then another letter shows up, and they do the same thing. They throw that one away, and then all of a sudden, letter after letter starts showing up. Soon, owls are dropping letters off all the time, and they're coming from every place into the house. The family is so nervous about what these letters say that they make a run for it. They run off, and they're continued to be followed, and eventually they find themselves on a lonely island in the middle of a violent sea. They go to bed that night thinking, surely, now we are safe. Letters, they definitely can't reach us here. Then as they all try to fall asleep, a thundering knock comes at the door, and Hagrid, an angry giant of a man, appears and officially hands Harry a letter which states that he will attend Hogwarts in the fall. Sometimes God's call can be that overwhelming. It can be so scary that we run. I ran a little bit. I knew that I was going to go into some sort of ministry, and I prayed hard that it wasn't going to be the local church. In my internships, in my five field ed education placements, I tried all kinds of ministry to run away from the local church. I tried hospital chaplaincy, working with children at an urban recreation center. I tried working with HIV and AIDS patients in a hospital. I was bound and determined that God was calling me, just not to the place God kept calling me. I thought I knew better than God. I thought I understand who I was better than God did. And then God said to me, before I created you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. God knows better than we what we are actually capable of doing. God knows. But do we trust God enough? Here's something I have learned over my wrestling with God's call for the 30 some odd years. When God calls, just listen. Make it easy on yourself. Just follow. Be more like Isaiah. God calls Isaiah, and Isaiah replies, here I am, send me. Isaiah is ready and rearing to go. Jeremiah, not so much. Jeremiah has great excuses, logical, understandable excuses. Jeremiah looks at God and says, you know what, I can't do that. I'm just a layperson. I never went to seminary, so how can I lead a Bible study? I'm too old to do that anymore. I don't have that much to give. I'm not very good with kids. Jeremiah lays out his excuses as proof that God is limited, that God can't work with people like him, like me, like you. God calls all of us, and all of us have excuses on why we can't do what God has asked us to do. When God calls us to step out in faith, we don't like it because it feels unsafe, it feels out of our control, it feels, like I've said, scary. But God continues to call. God calls the vulnerable and the afraid, the ill-equipped and the bearers of the best excuses to bring about the kingdom of God. Now, if you don't believe me, then all you need to do is go to the Western North Carolina Annual Conference. When you witness all the lay and clergy that are there, that ragtag group of people called to do the work of the United Methodist Church in this part of the state, you will see a haggard and motley bunch. There are some people that I look at, and I'll admit, I'm judgmental, and I look up at God and go, really? That person? Okay. You must have a sense of humor, God. Of course, I say that a lot as I look in the mirror and prepare to come here every single week. So what are the excuses that you have? Have you heard God speak to your life about a way that you could help bring about the kingdom of God? Have you witnessed God moving in your heart and pushing you, but you just keep running away? If so, stop. Stop with the excuses and the running. You cannot outrun God's call. We all have a vocation that God is calling us to. So just stop, listen, and follow. Now, vocation is different than a career. I'm not telling you that God is calling you to go back to school and to change your life completely. I mean, God might be. I don't want to limit God by any means. But I think because we only think of professional Christians as those who receive call, we miss out on where God really wants to use us. Vocation is different than a career. Karl Barth, a theologian, defined vocation as the event in which persons are set and instituted in actual fellowship with Jesus Christ, namely in the service of his prophecy, and therefore in the service of God and their fellow human being. God's call isn't always to do huge things like to tell a city, Jerusalem, that it's going to fall. As John Calvin Davis put it, Christian calling is not just reserved for those asked to do mighty things. It is an invitation to every Christian to witness to the gospel by investing with radical grace whatever worldly roles God opens us up to. I like how Dietrich Buechner defined it. I think he says it best that vocation is where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. God calls all kinds of people to do all kinds of things. God calls people to be nurses and CNAs. It's a calling to work with people who are sick and tired and when they are healing and ornery. And if you've been in the hospital lately, I'm sure you've felt the wonders of a gracious nurse who's come in to your room to make you feel a little bit better, at least being cared for and heard. It is a blessing, and that is God working through that person to bring comfort and peace and healing. God calls teachers who love their students and their classrooms. God calls CEOs and managers who truly want the best for their employees and see all those who work for them as people, not just cogs in a wheel. God calls mail carriers who stop to talk to elderly people on their routes to check in with those whose families live far away. God calls young people to leave their homes and to travel around the nation, helping children to experience the presence of God through fun and lessons and worship and play. God calls people to divinity school and into the mission field. God calls Sunday school teachers, small group leaders, those who work in the kitchen and tutors. God calls preachers and leaders, even reluctant ones, to preach weekly and lead the local churches. So how is God calling you? How is God calling you to be a witness in your workplace? How is God calling you to be an instrument of love and grace for others? How is God calling you? Or do you have too many excuses already? There's another phrase in Jeremiah's calling that I think we need to hear and understand. God tells Jeremiah the same thing angels tell when they talk to people. Kind of says, do not be afraid. God says, don't say I'm only a child. Where I send you, you must go. What I tell you, you must say. Don't be afraid of them because I'm with you to rescue you. We go into our calling understanding that we are not alone. A vocation, a calling is scary. God's calling is beyond what we might be willing or far away from what we would want to be doing. God's calling won't always be easy. Because if it was, we wouldn't need a God. But when we follow, when we stop with the excuses and with the I can'ts, we open ourselves up to just so much more. When we follow, we get to experience holy moments and inspirations of true grace that we never knew existed. This happens because instead of thinking that we are doing anything, we become a vessel for the kingdom of God to be felt here and now. I have learned that I am here behind this pulpit every Sunday, not because I want to, but because God has called me to this vocation, and I am here to be used by God. And God has said to me, I am putting my words into your mouth. So instead of excuses, I've learned just to listen to the call and to follow. Jeremiah listened to his call and followed too. How about you? as we come to the table today, the table that God has set before us, let us leave our excuses in the pews, leave them behind you, and step forward into the life that God is calling us. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you speak to us, even today, even now, in small whispers, in big moments, in pulls in our hearts and our souls, and just that nagging feeling that, yes, we know this is what we're supposed to be doing. Continue to speak with us. Continue to call. Continue to speak through our excuses so that we can be the people that you know we can be. We thank you for creating each and every one of us just as we are and calling us to be instruments of your peace, instruments of your love, and instruments of your grace. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.